you in the whole 6010. Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Friday. Field and Mike here. We'll also have Daniel and Stefania with us in just a few moments. We are going to recap Thursday night football. We are going to talk about all the updates and injuries for the rest of Week 9. We have some breaking news this morning that we'll discuss as well. You probably have heard by now, Odell Beckham Jr. is a former Browns wide receiver. But let's start, Daniel, if it's okay for me to get right into Thursday Night Football.
Let's get right to it.
Daniel says, let's do it. Good morning, Mike. Let's talk about the Colts, who win this game 45-30. Enough jump time in there to make it worthwhile.
45-30?
I had him 31-19, and you had him at 28-19.
That's right. It was a scoregami.
That's right. Scoregami. So this is cool,
we'll talk about
right?
it with Stefania, with Stefania later.
Yeah, just a little bit. We'll talk about that. Yeah. So we'll get to Mike White in just a moment here, but we'll start with the other players on the Jets' offense last night, Mike. And Michael Carter was fine last night, 86 total yards with one catch. A little bit disappointing there, only because we expected more funneling of throws to Michael Carter. Because he had done so much catching recently. So a little bit of a disappointment, but still, he's clearly the number one back in that offense and starting to just look better by the week.
Yeah, and we did talk about that on yesterday's show, that this was a very tough matchup. The Colts have been terrific against running backs, and the Jets seem to come out throwing the ball. You know, they were going to attack a team that has struggled against wide receivers and a team that had been really good against the run. You see that sometimes, like Tampa Bay, for example, right? Teams love to throw the ball against Tampa Bay. They know that they have a dominant run defense, so you know, we had higher expectations, yes, because of the volume he had seen in the passing game work. But at the end of the day, not totally unexpected. He did have 14-plus fantasy points the three prior games. So no need to be – you don't have to set back your expectations going forward. He's still in a good spot there.
Perhaps the story, though, for the Jets last night was yet another good game for Elijah Moore, their second-round pick out of Ole Miss, a guy who was the talk of the town during the preseason, Mike. He had 7 catches for 84 yards and 2 touchdowns last night. He's now got double-digit fantasy points in 3 straight games. You think this is a sign of things to come, or is this just a hot stretch for him this year?
Certainly not near the extent of last night. It was his first top 25 fantasy week of the season, so keep that in mind.
Well, but the good news, a lot of football left to be played.
It certainly is. And the good sign, though, is that he's had 6-plus targets in 5 of his past 6 games. Also, he has improved his fantasy point total. He's hit a career-high fantasy point total in 3 straight weeks now, right? So he's trending the right direction. There's a lot of strong play in the preseason. There's reason for optimism, but also Corey Davis is coming back. He's going to demand 20% or so of the target. So, you know, maybe he gets onto the flex right, or maybe jumps in the wide receiver 3 conversation, but I don't want to go overboard here.
I think we are sort of crossing wires there. I was saying, like, it's still possible he won't be a top 25 wide receiver, right? I mean, 27.4 fantasy points might put him a wide receiver 26 for the week. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? There was 1,000 yards of offense last night. So yeah, who knows what's going to happen this weekend? We don't know.
But I'm
sure he's safely in the top 25.
And amazingly, that took place without Mike White for much of the game. Yeah. Stefania Bells, who say good morning to you. Mike White, the Jets, well, at least temporary starting quarterback, got hurt early with a forearm issue. What do we know about it? He's kind of doing this like grip thing all night after that.
Actually, it's really interesting. I was watching that because he was testing it with his right hand, but you could see it was like he was trying to explain to them with his left what he could not do with his right. So a forearm injury that happened at some point during that first drive, and you could see him on the sideline trying to work through it, but it just wasn't good enough for him to be able to come back in the game. You know, if you get hit in the muscles of your forearm, and I have no idea exactly what happened because they haven't offered details, but anything from the elbow down, if you affect those muscles, when you try and grip a football, those muscles are working because that's what controls your wrist to maintain your grip strength. So that seemed to be the issue. It sounds like they don't think it's particularly serious, and in 10 days, when their next game is, he could be available.
And we'll see whether, if he isn't available, whether it would be Joe Flacco, would it be Josh Johnson again, who filled in last night. Maybe Zach Wilson is back sometime soon, but we don't expect that to be necessarily next
week.
Could
be Chad Pennington. Who knows at this point?
Well, that's your guy.
That's my
guy.
That's my guy.
That's your favorite player.
Yes, it is.
One of them, at least, of all time. The Jets are a funny team, man. Like, I just keep thinking about the Jets and how football is any given Sunday. They now have wins over the past 5 weeks against the Titans and the Bengals. They now have losses over the past 3 weeks
by, what, 41 against the Patriots, I think it was. And then last night, it was only a 15-point loss, but they allowed 45. That game was ugly early for the Jets. For the Colts, how about for the rest of the season, if you were ranking running backs, does anybody rank higher than Jonathan Taylor? Maybe Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
But you got to bake
a healthy McCaffrey, yeah. You might miss one more week. You know, we'll see.
We'll ask Stephanie about that in a couple minutes.
I mean, yeah, let's see. If Cook in there, probably not Kamara right now with losing Jameis Winston. Who else is in there? Who am I missing? Somebody obvious.
Zeke.
Probably yeah, not. Zeke. No, I mean, probably not.
Austin Eckler?
Here's a good way to put it.
Yeah, Eckler's in there. I would probably say Taylor over everybody right now, except for maybe except McCaffrey.
Let me re-trigger that question. If you were doing Mike Clay, does Dynasty rankings here at ESPN. Who's the number one ranked Dynasty player and number one ranked running back in Dynasty right now?
I think it's, when you consider age, probably Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I mean, look, if McCaffrey was fully healthy, maybe missed a game or two over the past 2 years and was playing at the level he is now, you'd have to put him number one. But with the durability concerns, and he's not 22 anymore, like Taylor's still 22, I think, right? Maybe 23.
Yeah, he's 22. He's I think he might so turn 23 young. Either in December or January.
Yeah, so if you're factoring in shelf life with running backs, which you should, how do you not want Taylor? Well, I mean, think about your gut instinct. Who do you want on your roster, right? Yeah.
You want
right
him? Now? He looks like the closest thing to Derrick Henry we have in the NFL right now.
He's unbelievable.
With better pass, probably better pass catching skills than Derrick Henry. I think that's fair to say. He's a great player. He had a monster night last night. 34.0 fantasy points for him last night. And if you streamed Carson Wentz, it paid off for you.
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty good. And we talked about his floor yesterday, right? 17 plus fantasy points in 8 of 9 games now this season. But this is going to be his first top nine fantasy week of the season. So maybe it's a sign of things to come, perhaps. But I think we should keep expectations in check. It was a very good matchup, obviously, here. So I think he's still probably a good QB2. Maybe he flirts with the QB1 radar a little bit. We'll see.
Just speaking of keeping expectations in check, I want to know if I can count on Nyheim Hines for 20.8 fantasy points on most fantasy weeks, guys.
Probably not.
Well, considering the previous 5 games totally at 12.7 points, I'm going to say probably not. But they did make an attempt to feature him last night. That was good. They should do that.
And the splits are notable when, and I got to figure out, someone pulled this on Twitter. I'm forgetting who it was, but which is my bad. The splits of Nyheim Hines when Marlon Mack is a healthy scratch versus when he's active are pretty glaring. Like, it's pretty obvious that when Marlon Mack is not there, Nyheim Hines' value soars quite a bit, which complicates things, right? I mean, what if they have a 4 o'clock game and you have to make a decision earlier in the day? What if they play Monday night? That makes things difficult. But still, it seems to be that, like, well, as we get deeper and deeper into the season, and as, you know, if injuries continue to pile up, if they're playing in a week where Marlon Mack is inactive, or if for some reason they release Marlon Mack, he'd be subject to waivers, of course, then Nyheim Hines, I think, value would be a little more stable.
Yeah, by the way, I think people are asking now if maybe the Colts will cut Marlon Mack. I think the expectation there is that, you know, they had Deion Jackson active as the three last night. I think I didn't confirm this, but presumably play special teams, which Mack does not. If something happens to Jonathan Taylor, Mack suddenly would be the ad, not Deion Jackson. Mack would presumably jump into that role like he has in the past with Nyheim Hines, playing a larger role, but still in the change of pace / passing down role. So I think Mack still is your primary insurance back in Indianapolis. And I don't think they'll cut him.
My sense is they won't. I'm not ruling it out, though, only because the organization and the player were in agreement to seek a trade weeks ago. They're trying to do right by him. Mm-hmm. This is a very well-respected player in the locker room that if he requests his release, which I am not saying he has or will, but it wouldn't totally stun me if that happens, but we'll obviously cross that bridge if we ever get to
it. Right. Yeah, people are asking. It's the only reason.
It's a good point of clarification. Michael Pittman's strong month and a half continues. He had 5 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown. I'm glad that touchdown was really a touchdown, by the way. If you missed it last night, it was one of those plays where he caught it, took 3 steps. He was in the end zone, and the defender kind of punched it out. And it was one of those where his momentum was still going forward, so it was initially ruled a touchdown and then not a touchdown, and they overturned it back to a touchdown. The bottom line is he got you more fantasy points. He's been good. He looks like a true, you know, top 20 to 25-ish wide receiver for the rest of the season.
No doubt. And there was a brief moment there when T.Y. Hilton came back where his targets plummeted to like 4 and 3, and you're like, ooh, you know, is this going to be that low-volume, run-first offense? They're spreading it around. It's going to be a problem for him. That has disappeared. I know Hilton's been in and out of the lineup, but he's too good to go back from, and Carson Wentz clearly has a connection there. So
no doubt, yeah,
he's wide a really receiver good player. Two going forward. Yeah.
Say the Colts in the span of 2020 to 2023 years may have had like two unbelievable starts of the draft. Remember in 2018 they go Quentin Nelson, mm-hmm. Darius Leonard, also Braden Smith in that same draft,
nailing it.
How about last year, Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor in the same draft, in which they didn't even have a first round pick. So really impressive. Mm-hmm. If you want to include DeForest Buckner in that haul, could feel really good about how the Colts attacked that 2020 NFL draft.
I like Chris Ballard a lot. You could tell from his first press conference at the Combine a couple years ago that he was the real deal, and he's done a really nice job building from within. I was a little underwhelmed with him not spending all of their available cap space this offseason on upgrades, but you know they're playing well right now, and I was really curious to see if the homegrown sort of mentality was going to work for them, and it didn't early the season. It's starting to pick up, so we'll see how that goes.
So I'm a big believer in, like, you are what your record says you are. Like, I understand that statement. I also sometimes like make exceptions for it. I think the Colts are a better team than 4-5.
They certainly look like it. Yeah.
I mean, they had the Ravens. They should have beat the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They could have beaten the Titans easily last week. Like, if those two games go their way, what's the narrative around Indy right now? They're sitting here at 6-3, and we're saying, wow, Indy could be the in-division favorites. Carson Wentz is the move of the off. Well, maybe not the move of the offseason, but one of the better moves of the offseason. There are a lot of ways that we could be talking about them differently, but you have to finish off games. They are now 4-5. Anything else to clean up for Thursday Night Football?
Nope.
Daniel, all good? Let's get to news then. And again, you have heard this news already, I am sure, but Odell Beckham Jr. has been waived by the Browns. I'll get into a couple of sort of minutia points right now. He's been waived because the NFL trade deadline is over. Every player hits waivers rather than just being released and immediately becoming a free agent. That means that between now and Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, every NFL team has the right to try and claim Odell Beckham Jr., and if you do so, you inherit his contract. Odell Beckham Jr. still has about $7.25 million owed to him starting on Monday of next week going forward. That's a lot of money for a guy who has not been very good, and not a lot of teams have a lot of salary cap space, which is why you're hearing all this talk on Friday morning about how they're going to restructure his deal. It's possible OBJ has a new team as soon as 4 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. We do not know where he ends up. We'll obviously flesh that out more, but Michael, I'll ask you a couple questions here. Does this matter for Cleveland?
Not really. Not really. I mean, he wasn't a guy who felt like starting right now. I'll say two things. Two things to keep an eye on here. One is Jarvis Landry, who's more secure now as a wide receiver three, maybe a wide receiver two. Remember last year, he handled a 27% target share during the games OBJ was out. He was wide receiver 23 in fantasy. That was a 9-game sample. So that's good. That helps secure him as a starter. You like that if you have him on your team. The other thing is, if you're looking for a home run off waivers, a guy that maybe he's the breakout player in the league in the second half, look to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Not a guy field, by the way. I was super high on. He was a guy, he was kind of a popular sleeper during draft season last year, but his efficiency was not there. Like I was surprised, kind of like Jalen Reagor. I was surprised there was so much hype, and he did plummet to the sixth round, right? So clearly teams agreed. But he has gotten better and better and better, and he had two big games right before his recent injury, two really good fantasy days. So he is the guy that replaced Beckham in weeks 1 and 2. He's going to be a potentially a full-time player in this offense. And if they pick it up and start throwing more, which they did in the second half last year, maybe he's one of the breakout players in the league. So again, if you're just looking for a lottery ticket, a potential home run for the end of your bench, Donovan Peoples-Jones is that guy.
Good thought. That's interesting. Yeah, that's good to know that the Browns, good to know. I mean, I'll be curious to see if the Browns do adhere to your idea of throwing the football more to their wide receivers. They just have a lot of players, right? They run the ball a lot. They've got at least two good running backs, really three with D'Ernest Johnson. They have three tight ends they play a lot, mm-hmm. who none of them is dominant in the passing game. They've got a handful of different wide receivers that they play a decent amount. So it's weird that an offense that last year was so good still didn't have that many pass-catching superstars. We're kind of back at that same spot this year. They're not as great as they were last year offensively, but I don't know that anybody is a certainty at this moment, Daniel.
Field, I have just a question about Odell, because he has not been... You haven't been starting him. You haven't been playing him in fantasy. If you do have him on your roster, because either you have a deeper roster or you've just been holding on waiting, what do you do with him? You got to wait it out and see where he lands, right?
You got to hold. It's funny. You know what's really interesting is you have to hold, because even if you're not interested, I can tell you that somebody else is. Oh, yeah. I have this 10-team that we have playing this 10-team Dynasty League, and OBJ is on my team. Two people independently have already reached out and said, like, what's the price tag on OBJ? Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
There's a price tag on OBJ? I get something for
yeah,
him?
I was like,
the
wow.
answer is yes. Yes, yes whatever.
yes. I think for now, hold. Because yep. let me ask, we're going to obviously dive into wherever he ends up next. But favorite landing spot
Raiders.
For OBJ? Okay.
Raiders.
Tell me more.
Contender, good quarterback.
Yep.
I don't care what people say about Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a good quarterback, right? Yep. May have been a point where he's a little overrated. Not anymore. He's underrated now. He's a good player. An opportunity. Yeah. I mean, there's a path to a huge target share, at least 20% of the targets, maybe 25 if things go well and he picks it up. Remember, they tried to, just a couple years ago, tried to get Antonio Brown. They wanted that featured receiver. They haven't had one for a couple years. They've been spread it around to a bunch of different guys. Hunter Renfrow's really good in the slot. Brian Edwards is an emerging player. You have a lot of targets going to Darren Waller, but there is room there for an alpha number one receiver, and I think that can be Odell Beckham. Just everything seems to line up for him to land there, unless, you know, I don't know, unless they just are happy with what they have and don't want to go that direction. Do they want to use Zay Jones? I think it's by far the perfect landing spot.
Packers or Lions, just to make Daniel happy. But Packers is my spot here, right?
By the way, we didn't mention this, but first in waiver order is the Lions, right?
Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's by reverse standings order. So
yeah, that's right. If you're not first, you're last. And but we're first because we're last.
You're first. You got it. I don't know how that would go.
Wait, if you're not, it's actually a good point. If you're not first, you're last. But if you're last, you're first.
You're first, right?
Right.
Yeah,
that's great. I love that. Okay,
first draft pick, first waiver order.
No, I mean smart teams do make great use of the waiver wire. Like there are some teams that have done. The Browns used to do it when they were near the bottom of the waiver order. They found some players that have become useful pieces for them during their present iteration. Let's get to some injury updates. And again, we'll close the circle on OBJ once he finds a team. Again, the earliest that could be would be 4 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. Stefania, we got a busy week of injuries, and things are a little dicey in the desert right now.
That's true.
But it just feels like this week there are some, sometimes during the injury report, we're going through and you're assuring us, like, he's on there, but he's expected to play, or it's very clear, like, he's on there, he ain't playing. This week, I feel like we have some true coin flips, and that includes two in Arizona, which includes Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is a tough read because we know that he has a tendency to not practice and still show up on game days. We talked about it last week when he was injured with the hamstring. I was concerned about it because I said the one time he was injured earlier this year when he had a rib issue, I think he went 3 for 21, and you saw last week the hamstring took him out of the game. So here he is not practicing again. I'm assuming he's likely to come in with a questionable tag, and it could come down to game time before we know. It's still unclear with him. As far as Kyler Murray, we talked about his ankle injury at the end of the last game that sort of went under the radar, except for a couple reporters noticed him leaving in a walking boot. And he has not practiced this week either, but the conversation is much more positive around him. First of all, Kyler Murray is very comfortable with where he is, says he feels a whole lot better. He's been seen without a boot. His ankle does not appear swollen. I think he sort of noticed reporters looking at his ankle to see how it looked. He said he feels good about getting the mental reps for the game plan. And Cliff Kingsbury echoed that, saying, couldn't have done it before, but now he's mature enough as a quarterback that with him getting the mental reps, it's okay if he doesn't practice and they'll be comfortable with him going into the game. So it still could come down to an official game time decision, but it sounds like Murray's headed to play.
Okay, that's good news. Well, I did bench him for Carson Wentz last night. So I guess that's all fine though. Yeah. I mean, like Murray could certainly outscore Wentz, wouldn't surprise me, but I'll be okay with 24. I mean, I will live with 24 fantasy points, whatever it was for Wentz last night. Josh Jacobs, fine. This one seems like good news. This one feels like we're in the clear, right?
Yeah. This is one of the ones where I think we have an answer because it's not on the injury report, but he left the last game fairly early with a chest contusion. And naturally, you have to follow up on it. But they had a bye the following week, which really helped him out. And he comes in apparently healthy this week.
That's good news right there. James Robinson for the Jaguars left the game last week. Urban Meyer, I guess, you know, we don't talk about the Jaguars as much because they don't have as many fantasy relevant players right now. But he's been pretty open about where he's at with James Robinson.
Yeah, I think on Wednesday he said he took a big step yesterday, so I guess that was Tuesday, and they said they were going to see how he feels, but they're calling him day to day. It is a bruised heel. I think he's one of the ones where Friday is the big practice day, sort of telling about what his status will be.
Yeah, he is officially questionable to play, is what Urban Meyer said just about 30 or so minutes ago to the media. So James Robinson is questionable. Mike, I'll ask you though, if he sits, how much confidence do you have in Carlos Hyde, who I'm sure Stefania is getting ready to say he's also been banged up this week, but he has returned to practice. He seems like he's going to play. What's your confidence level there?
Not a lot because of the matchup, right?
Okay.
I'm a big Carlos Hyde fan, but They're playing Buffalo, and Buffalo is shutting down everyone. This is already an offense that's having trouble moving the football, and then you're without maybe your best offensive playmaker, probably, right? James Robinson.
Oh, yeah, unquestionable.
Been outstanding, right? So it's going to be tough. What would bail you out, though, is volume, right? I mean, if he gets, say, 14 carries and six targets, he could end up as RB22 for the week, something like that. So I do have him ranked in that vicinity, just inside the top 25. I don't see a high ceiling there, but I do see a path to a lot of volume. So if Robinson's out and you're in a tough spot and your flex or RB2 spot, Hyde's an option. But again, keep your expectations in check. He is playing against the best defense in the NFL this season, Buffalo.
If you want to win some money this week in daily fantasy, find Divino Zigbo and get him in your lineup.
Yeah,
he was claimed off of waivers. Yeah, game flow here, man. They're 14-point dogs. Carlos Hyde, a little bit banged up. James Robinson doesn't play. I could see Divino Zigbo getting
maybe
five. Wow.
I mean, a tournament, like a DFS tournament, fine. But, I mean, you also have Dare Ogunbowale there, too. So,
yeah, wow.
So you have three guys. Is he going to play? I mean, he might play six snaps.
He might be healthy scratch, too.
Tell you what, looking for a running back to play in DFS, you can listen to the CSS DFS podcast posted yesterday with Mike and I and Al Zeidenfeld.
Great show. I think you and Al are tremendous. Like, your chemistry
Thanks,
is really impressive.
I really appreciate that, man.
Me, too. Who's the other host on that show?
I think it's Carabao?
No. Yeah, I don't remember.
Mark Clayton?
Drawing a blank.
Not ringing a bell. Ringing a bell. Stefania
has
no idea either.
No
one knows.
I don't know. All I know is whoever that host is, though, was talking all about how Devontae Parker's a great play this week. So
we'll
can't
talk
trust
about
him
in just a second. I'm going to ask Stefania about him in about 2 minutes. But first, Stefania, Julio Jones, he's been banged up recently for the Titans, who, of course, are going to be without Derrick Henry, which we will discuss in just a little bit as well.
Yeah, sort of this ongoing hamstring issue for Julio Jones, but he is doing better this week. He's actually participating on a limited basis in practice. And it sounds like, from folks I've spoken to, he's going to be fine, and they do expect him to play this week.
Okay, Julio expected to play on Sunday night. Mike, I know you talk about wide receiver cornerback matchups frequently, and I think we all think and know the Rams' defense is very good, but is it as difficult against opposing wide receivers as their points per game allowed would suggest?
No, but, well, look, first of all, people immediately think Jalen Ramsey, right? Where is he going to be on the field? And honestly, you don't know. He plays that star position. Sometimes he's on the perimeter. Usually he's in the slot, though. And it doesn't really matter who they're facing. It's not like, okay, we're facing a team with elite perimeter receivers. We're going to put him outside this week. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way they scheme it up. They trust their perimeter corners, and just that's just the way they're built. So I wouldn't be worried about that. I don't think it's a matchup you're too worried about. Remember, Darius Williams is also on IR, and he hasn't. I don't believe he's even been designated to return yet, so I don't expect him back this week. So we'll kind of see how that plays out. But anyway, I don't view this as a matchup I'm overly intimidated about. If anything, you lower expectations for the whole offense slightly, just because the Rams in general are a good defense. They're not going to allow a ton of points usually.
Okay, yeah, interesting game on Sunday night. Big one for both teams, really. The Rams, I think we'll win that game, but for the Titans, like, they just keep finding ways to win against teams that people think they're going to lose to. Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, but, and by the way, they should be featuring those receivers, Brown and Julio Jones, more often, of course.
Totally.
Without Derrick Henry, it just naturally it makes sense. I know they still want to ground and pound, run the football. That's what Mike Vrabel said, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all common sense.
Sure.
You've traded for Jones for a reason. You have A.J. Brown, one of the best receivers in the league. You feature those guys, so perhaps it's going to help out Jones's volume. We'll see.
We got some good COVID-related news for Saquon Barkley, Stefania, but still he and several Giants pass catchers seem iffy for Sunday.
Yeah, we had talked about this yesterday, that there was such a cluster of positive tests. And when that happens, you're always looking at the possibility that you have a group of false positives. That appears to be the case for the Giants. Saquon Barkley officially removed from the reserve COVID-19 list this morning. And the belief now, according to Jordan Ronan, is that the only true positive test was the running back's coach.
Okay.
So that's good news. But let's not forget Saquon Barkley dealing with an ankle issue and still had been very, very limited as of last week. He is expected to do something at practice today, it sounds like. But I would be surprised if Saquon is playing in this game, given all the time that he's been away.
Sounds like one more week for Devontae Booker. Before we get to players returning from injury, Stefania, I did want to ask you quickly about the player Mike was alluding to. That's Devontae Parker.
Yeah, he's been dealing with these dual injuries for a while, and it sounds like he had a setback, and now Devontae Parker out of the mix for this week.
He is doubtful to play for Miami. They, of course, play the Houston Texans on Sunday. A game featuring two teams that have been linked in many ways for the past few years and potentially could be linked once again this offseason. We'll discuss Dak Prescott, Tyrod Taylor, and others coming back from injuries. But first, do you own or rent your home?
Yep.
Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All righty, we are back, and so are these players, at least we hope. We start with Dak Prescott, Stefania. Sounds like he is all good to go for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, I think Dak probably could have played last week, but nobody wanted to take that chance. There's just been too much investment in his health. He's been performing at such a high level, coming off the ankle surgery, then he had the lat strain in training camp, and nobody really wanted to see him test his calf in that game without getting another week of work under his belt. So he feels good, and really there's no doubt that he's going to play.
And by the way, you're going to start him on Sunday. How about...
You think?
I meant to follow up on this one. Do we think CeeDee Lamb's good to go? I saw he was a DNP on Thursday, Stefania.
Yeah, you know, I have so many notes because there's so many injuries.
I've
been flipping through it. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb sprained his ankle in practice on Wednesday and then did not practice on Thursday. So I think Friday is a big day for him.
Okay, so CeeDee Lamb, Friday, mark it down. Keep an ear out for that one. If he sits, Mike. I don't believe Michael Gallup has been officially activated back to the roster. Let's go through this, though. If CeeDee Lamb's out, Michael Gallup is up. I like Michael Gallup a whole lot this week.
Sure. Yeah, he'd be in the wide receiver three mix for sure. There's a path to a decent target share there, even with Cedric Wilson in the slot. And
there we go.
You'd have Gallup and Cooper on the outside.
That's the name I want to mention, though. If CeeDee Lamb sits and Michael Gallup is inactive, that's a name that I'm sure will be in DFS lineup, Cedric Wilson, right?
Yeah, that's a good call. There you go. Wow, yeah, we're getting it.
I'm starting to earn his respect.
I don't know what his price tag
is. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm like the little brother right now. Like,
yeah.
I'm earning the big
guy.
Brother's
You've
respect.
Got this. Yeah.
You can play in our league if you want to guess.
You got 100 on your test.
Wow, this is so awesome. I've never had that happen to me before.
Yeah.
All right, so let's keep an eye on CeeDee Lamb. A reminder, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. We always have the latest on all injuries.
I know that I'm going out of order now, but I want to ask you about two more NFC East wide receivers, just while we're talking about CeeDee Lamb, because I know the Giants are also dealing with a few things, Stefania.
Right, and we were talking about Saquon Barkley, but you've also got Kenny Galladay back in practice for the first time in a month. Now, it was only limited work that he did on Thursday, but, you know... You never know with the Giants because it's such a hodgepodge lately because guys have been so banged up. You never know really who's going to be available. Don't forget Sterling Shepard developed the quad injury. He hasn't practiced. I don't think he's going to be able to play. So keep an eye on Kenny Galladay, but I don't think it's this week just given how little he's done.
No Kenny Galladay, potentially all kinds of player issues for the Giants on the injury front throughout the season. Hopefully they get back to a point where they have Saquon and Galladay and Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton and Danny Dimes on the field at the same time. But Stefania, let's go to Tyrod Taylor, who I mentioned has a chance to start on Sunday, it sounds like, against the Dolphins.
It sounds like he is going to start. David Culley confirming that he will be the starter. He's had no setbacks with the hamstring through practicing this week. Davis Mills goes back to the bench.
Okay, Davis Mills back to the bench, Tyrod Taylor. I think, Mike, I think it makes the Texans kind of an interesting underdog play, just for the record. I know you only do daily fantasy stuff, but for those of us who are looking at lines, I think that the Texans are kind of an interesting pick this weekend. But I think it might sort of stabilize the value of someone like Brandon Cooks, too, who I think is almost always in lineups anyways, but it makes you feel better about Brandon Cooks. He's had a couple of weird games with limited production because they can't move the ball that much. With Tyrod Taylor, I feel better about him.
Yeah, I agree with you, and you know I've used this stat over the past week or so. We can update it based on what happened this past weekend. But in a game and a half with Tyrod Taylor, the Texans scored 6 offensive touchdowns. In 6.5 games with Davis Mills, they have 8 offensive touchdowns, and 5 of those were in garbage time last week when the game was already decided. So no question about it, this should inject some life into the Texans. And you know, credit to you. You said the Texans are a sneaky team this year, right? People were down.
They came out strong with
Tyrod Taylor. That wasn't a knock on you. I'm not saying you were wrong. They came out really good. They crushed the Jags, and they were hanging in there with the Browns. They might have beat the Browns in week 2, And then he got hurt, and obviously the wheels fell off.
This is what happens. He sits in the seat for one day.
And he gets this. I know.
Start calling you.
It was a compliment.
Matthew Clay over there.
Wow.
Wow.
That's my brother.
Oh, really?
That's my brother, yeah.
That's right.
Matthew Clay.
The talented Clay.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Talented Mr. Clay is what they call him.
Wow.
Stefania, so there's actually two sides to this conversation. Taysom Hill sounds like he's good to go.
I don't know that we're really there yet. You know, it's been a little bit. Sean Payton is one of the most cryptic when it comes to injury situations. He is very. What he's clear about is that he doesn't want to talk about them.
Okay.
And so they will tend to play their cards, keep their cards close to the vest. I will say this is what he said about Taysom Hill for last week. He said, had he been healthy last week, he would have been. It would have been Trevor Siemian as the backup still to Jameis Winston, but they would then have Taysom starting in week 9. But he wasn't healthy last week. And so he only just started practicing in the middle of this week. And it makes you wonder if Sean Payton's concerned about that. So first of all, he has to be cleared. He's been off multiple weeks because of a concussion injury. He would have to be cleared for full contact to be able to play in a game. But you also get the sense that Sean Payton would have to be comfortable putting him in as the starter, given all the time he missed. And that's understandable because it's not just a knee injury or a shoulder injury, it's concussion. So you obviously have a lot more studying to do as a quarterback, a lot more processing to do. And that could be a very real thing. So I don't think it's decided yet.
Okay, so it sounds like it's unclear whether Taysom Hill will play, but it also sounds like he will not be the starting quarterback, even if he does play, Mike. And actually, Mike Clay and I were texting about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Both of us were hearing rumblings that Trevor Siemian mm-hmm. would be the guy, in part because it's not just that I think the Saints felt like Trevor Siemian did a few things okay last week, mm-hmm. but also the fact that you would be turning to a guy in Taysom Hill who's been out since week 5. It's a lot of rust to knock off for a player that, you know, we know it's not even a full-time quarterback as it is. So it sounds like it'll be Trevor Siemian, Mike, which dashes the hopes of a QB1 week from Taysom Hill.
Yes, it does. And look, I still think that if you picked up Hill, you could hold tight because I'll be surprised if he's not the starter in week 10 and beyond, right? That would be my expectation. And if he is,
depends.
You know, and we don't know for sure. It does depend. It depends how well Siemian plays, honestly.
I was going to say, you want them to lose. If you have Taysom Hill and you want him to be your starting quarterback in week 10, you want the Saints to lose on Sunday.
Yes, no question about it. But the point is, it's a possibility.
Yep.
And I think based on what we know from Simeon's resume, probably a good possibility that he'll get, and I'll do respect him.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Let's be honest. We're just being objective here. It's a good chance he'll struggle at times and they'll turn to Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback. And if that's the case, we're going to be ranking him as a borderline QB1, maybe better than that. So, you know, I think for now, just hold tight on him. But again, expectations for this week would be Simeon's the starter and they kind of work Hill in because, again, remember, Hill just was injured, just came back from the concussion. It would have been hard for them to get him.
Yeah.
Make the transition. It's a different offense, right, with him in there. Make that transition that quickly for this week. So no surprise that it may be one quarterback this week, a different one after that.
Stefania, the Panthers have a couple of notable players who are dealing with injuries right now. Of course, Christian McCaffrey being the most notable for fantasy purposes. Do you think he plays on Sunday?
Right now, I don't. You know, he's missed 5 games since being hurt in week 3, and we've talked, I think, plenty about the curious management of Christian McCaffrey in those initial 2 weeks after the injury. Mm. But then he did go on IR ultimately and just got back into practice, and I think now the Panthers are being very careful about it. Yeah. The challenge, and I understand when coaches say they don't want a player back until they can go 100%. You don't ever want to bring a player back on the field and have in the player's mindset, just go 50%. Mm-hmm. Don't go full speed, just go 50%. You can't do that because you set the player up for all kinds of problems, potential injury. But you might still be able to manage their workload by controlling snaps. And I feel like they don't feel comfortable they can do that. Like if they want him back, I think they just want to be able to let it go and have him have full caseload, like patient care, but a full load of work.
Yeah.
And to me, that is going to be the problem, right, potentially in the Christian McCaffrey return, no matter when it happens. Just because I'm not sure that they will be able to manage it. They just want him to go.
It's interesting. And sometimes these things matter, sometimes they don't. I haven't heard any reporting that is suggesting he's definitely back in week 9, mm-hmm. right? I've heard some that thinks he could be back. I've heard some that thinks we'll see, but I have heard nothing definitive. And, you know, there have been other cases of high-profile players coming back from IR where, hey, he's back off IR, he's good to go this week, for example. So we'll see. You'll hear the update, people. Like, it's Christian McCaffrey. You'll get 9 notifications on your phone. You probably get Snapchat from Daniel. Are you on Snapchat still?
I'm not on Snapchat, no.
But if you read the tea leaves from what Matt Rhule said, like after his first practice back, he said, pretty limited. We're just trying to start the process of seeing where he, I mean, everything is guarded.
I'll give you an example of a team that I thought sort of, I'm not saying they're the only team that's done this, but I thought the way that the Broncos managed Jerry Jeudy recently was pretty instructive, right? Like, he's on IR. They designate him to return on a Saturday. And it was like, we're just bringing him back because we're going to practice him for a little bit. Like, a good reminder that just because the new IR rules stipulate you must miss a minimum of 3 games, it doesn't mean that you're only missing 3 games. So we'll see on Christian McCaffrey. We'll have an update on that, of course, on Fantasy Football Now. Chuba Hubbard's the next man up in that backfield, as you all know. He'd be a borderline RB2 against the Patriots. But will it be P.J. Walker under center, Stefania?
It could be. You know, Sam Darnold suffered that concussion, but he also injured his right shoulder on the same play. And so he's only done limited work for a couple of days. I mean, it's good that he's in practice. You know, he hasn't been completely removed from practice, but I didn't get the sense that it was definite that he'd be back yet. Again, Friday, big day for him.
Yeah, P.J. Walker's fun. He was a really fun player to watch in the XFL, Mike. I'll be interested to see what happens on Sunday. I mean, I think he's a limited thrower, obviously, but I think he'd be a fun player to watch for one game as a spot starter.
Yeah, which league was he in? Was he AAF or XFL? XFL? He was XFL, right. So we've seen a few of them guys make some plays the past few weeks, right?
Come to backups. Johnson,
Mike AAF, White and Cooper Rush had a good game.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Josh Johnson, even in garbage time last night, lit it up. So, look, honestly, again, just being honest here, I'm not sure if that would move the needle if Darnold's out based on the way he's played the past month. I don't know that it would. I mean,
My confidence, like, I'd play DJ Moore.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play Robbie Anderson. And if Christian McCaffrey plays, I'm playing him.
Of course, the running back. Yeah, the running back.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm with you. Stefania, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think we've seen him yet this week.
Yeah, we haven't. And again, that's another one where it's real quiet. You know, you take your cues from the fact that it's super quiet. You haven't heard a peep about Edwards-Helaire. Obviously, sprained his MCL week 5. He's missed the last 3 games. Just to your point, like, that you start thinking about the clock because that IR is, you know, the 3 weeks on IR and they're eligible to come back. But we've heard nothing that would suggest that he's coming back this week.
So the Chiefs will likely turn to Darrell Williams with some Derek Gore mixed in there as well, Mike. I know that Derek Gore ran probably as well as any Chiefs running back has run this year, but a clear snap edge to Darrell Williams and a clear passing game edge as well.
Oh, no question about it. 50 snaps for Williams in that game, 15 for Gore, 12 for Jerick McKinnon, too.
Yeah.
So they played a lot of snaps. Those guys were factored in a little bit. The only thing that makes you nervous about starting Williams is, what if they do turn to the hot hand and they're just like, all right, Gore's running well again. We're just going to use him now a lot. It seemed like that's what was happening this past week, and then they just went right back to Williams. But to your point, by the way, 4+ targets in 4 straight games. It's 6 catches for 61 yards last week for Darrell Williams. He's also fantasy's number 10 scoring running back during the 3 weeks Edwards-Helaire has been out. So you still have to start him, even though there's more risk in terms of job security than perhaps other times. Right now, he's playing well enough. He should be in lineups.
Daniel just sneezed, if you heard that in the background. Do you guys know, like, after the Vikings score a touchdown and they blow that big horn in their stadium? Daniel, they should just replace that with Dan. Because when Daniel sneezes,
I didn't even sneezes, do the big sneeze.
The building shakes.
It's not
all out.
Yeah. Well, when it comes out, you just got to let it all out, man.
It gets stuck in the beard.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
One more injury update, Stefania. David Montgomery for the Bears. He too has begun practicing.
Yeah, I think this is like the third example of someone who's designated for return, but is really just entering the practice window. So that just happened on Thursday. It's hard to imagine him coming back from the type injury he had, that knee hyperextension, with just that few days of practice under his belt. So we'll see how he does on Friday. They haven't said one way or the other where they plan on having him available. I think it seems pretty soon, especially when initially they talked about this looking like a 4 to 6 week injury. Don't forget, Damian Williams left last week's game with a knee injury. And so Khalil Herbert could be your guy.
He was banged up last week too, but it sounds like one more week of
healthiest
Herbert.
Healthiest of the three.
Yeah. I will say this, Matt Nagy seemed to indicate that once David Montgomery is back, he's back and he's back. Like, it's his job. Like, they love David. And by the way, I love David Montgomery. We all do. Mm-hmm. He's a really good player. So it sounds like Khalil Herbert might go back to that change of pace slash return man role.
Yeah, and there was a report that maybe Montgomery would get a few touches this week. We'll see. I mean, he's playing Monday night, so you're not going to plan on starting him unless a report comes out that he's a full go, which is, to Stefani's point, seems extremely unlikely. Also, they're on their bye next week, too. So it just makes perfect sense for him to not
play. If they did, I wouldn't be surprised. They're a team who I wouldn't be surprised if they introduced him for a smaller workload if they felt that it was okay to do so.
That's pretty rare, though, honestly. You usually don't see that, right? You usually don't see a guy like that come back and be like, hey, we'll just give him a few snaps and the backup will be the main guy. I just can't think of many examples, if any, off the top of my head where that actually happens. So.
All right, well, let's get, before we get to filling in the shoes or filling the shoes of Derrick Henry and also Aaron Rodgers, a quick word from Daniel.
Hey, football fans, we have an incredible app for everyone who buys gas, and we need you to know about it. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FFF and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. None. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can just cash out at any time to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. So download the free GetUpside app. Use the promo code FFF to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FFF.
We have 20 minutes, and we are going to rip through a bunch of stuff right now. We start in Green Bay, well, Kansas City technically, on Sunday. But Stefania, a quick health update on both Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. When could we see Aaron Rodgers, and is Devontae Adams definitely playing on Sunday?
So Aaron Rodgers, because of his unvaccinated status, is not eligible to return at the soonest until next Saturday. Okay. So out for this week, we shall see what they decide next week, because obviously coming back Saturday is only one day, but he is Aaron Rodgers, so we'll see. Devontae Adams was activated from the reserve COVID-19 list on Thursday, so he's back in the fold. Remember, Alan Lazard had been there. He is back as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling returning from IR, designated for return from IR. Remember, they had dabbled with the concept of designating him and playing him in that game against the Cardinals. They decided not to do it, but it sounds like he could be available as well.
They go to Kansas City on Sunday, Mike. I think Jordan Love has a chance to impress some people. I've got him as a borderline top 15 play. He will finish inside the top 15 in terms of scoring.
Sounds like a board bet. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you have a board bet, right? Didn't you and Kyle make one?
I think we did. Yeah, what was our board bet,
Teddy?
On Kyle?
Was it Teddy?
It was Teddy versus, I think, Jordan Love, right?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that. So
but
anyway.
Kyle, he's smart fan. Because what he did was, he's a Packers fan. So if I'm right, his team probably wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But seriously, though, this is a silver lining for the Packers to get a look at Jordan Love. I mean, it's going to be really important for them as they evaluate their future at that position in the offseason. So
totally.
I'm intrigued. I'd say, you know, if you're betting either way, making decision in fantasy, you probably go the other direction on Love, just because it's a guy with 7 career pass attempts. He's not a guy coming into the league we thought would do much with his legs as well, primarily a pocket passer. It is a good matchup. You think about the Chiefs have allowed the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Efficiency hasn't been good. Although I will say this, if you look at the splits and what they have allowed, a lot of it's on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. They played Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. They gave up a ton of damage to those guys with their legs. The passing numbers aren't that bad. So, you know, maybe they kind of come back to earth a little bit defensively. Maybe that was part of why the numbers are so bad. So I would just keep that in mind. So I'd go the other direction on Love. I'm a little more pessimistic than you are, but we'll see. I hope he's good. I mean, I hope he's good.
Two straight days of this guy?
I know.
What have I done wrong?
I have no idea. I don't know. I really do feel like it's Prison Mike coming out all over again. Yeah, we're rescinding back to Prison Mike.
I'm trying to be nice about my points, and I might as well not. Like, I might as well just be aggressive. I thought about wearing my Prison Mike shirt today.
Stop it.
You should have.
I thought of. Now I'm kind of mad I didn't. I might as well have. I mean, I went with good old Andy Reid here.
Yeah, I think it's funny being able to. I want to say this, though. I do want to say this really quickly, just because we're talking about the four of us. My mom posted on Twitter yesterday, like a photo of us.
Oh, she did. She's the sweetest.
She got 317 likes on that photo, and it's the most she's ever had. And for her, it's one of those things where it's like, that's unreal. Oh. So I want to say thank you so much to 060 Nation for being so nice to Mama Dot.
She's watching now.
Thank you guys. Seriously.
There are like three pure things on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mama Dopp is one of them. Actually, yes. You know what? She reminds me, Mina Kimes' mom, the two moms I follow on Twitter, the sweetest people I've ever met in my entire life.
And I can see where Daniel gets his his love, and you know, Daniel's always just so great. Your mom is the best. And
thanks.
Even when we're having a bad day, she can make us feel like a million bucks.
Wonderful family that your parents have raised. All right, Daniel.
All right, Phil, time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer.
And we begin with the Packers, who we were just talking about. Aaron Jones locked into lineups. He's RB6 across the board. A.J. Dillon, sort of an interesting play here. So, Mike, I think the question is really this. Is A.J. Dillon going to benefit because the Packers will not be as efficient throwing the football? Could they be a bit more run-heavy this week with a new quarterback under center?
They might try to be, but they're underdogs by about a touchdown. And what does that mean? That means if you're trailing, you throw the football more often. And actually, really quick, just to touch on this, because I think it factors into answering your question. You know, you look at Aaron Jones, okay? So he has played for the Packers in four games that they've lost since the beginning of last season. His carry totals are very low in those games. He's averaging 11 touches, 42 yards, and 10 fantasy points a game in those games. And he's the starter for the Packers, right? So keep that in mind. You know, obviously, we expect them to trail throughout this game against the Chiefs as a heavy underdog. But also, as for A.J. Dillon, he only has one weekly finish better than the 13th or 30th. That was a 19th this season. Right. So I've never really been in on him yet from a starting caliber player standpoint. He still belongs on benches as a really good insurance option. Hasn't transferred yet.
Question, though. Honest question. Do you really expect the Packers to be trailing big against the Chiefs?
By about a touchdown? That wouldn't surprise me at all in this game. I mean, the Chiefs are a pretty desperate team now to get wins. They're still a very good team.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. If I
were the Packers, I'd rely on Aaron Jones a fair amount, at least as much as I could unless the game got out of hand.
Wouldn't be surprised if the Packers win this game on Sunday. Let's go Field, to go ahead. Last week I also guessed the Lions.
You did, yeah. Thank you for that. Speaking of that, you can pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/pigskin pick'em or on the ESPN fantasy app.
I forgot to pick my game last night. Dang it. Ooh. Ryan Tannehill checks in at quarterback 12 on Mike's board, quarterback 14 for me. Mike, I think the calculus is sort of pretty simple, right? Like no Derrick Henry, I think, means that A, they're going to have to lean more on Ryan Tannehill, and B, the touchdown passes should be just that much easier to come by.
Yeah, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago where a higher percentage of their touchdowns were going to be passes anyway, right? Yeah. Based on their play calling, based on the history of the Tannehill-Henry offense. So no question about that. Tannehill only has three top 15 fantasy weeks this season. Part of the problem has been the bad luck in the touchdown department, but he's back-to-back top 12s now. So he's already trending up. Those touchdowns are starting to regress to the mean, and now, of course, they're going to have to rely on him more often. So I'm with you. I think that he will hang in that borderline QB1 streaming option category the rest of the season.
We've already gotten word today that the Titans are expected to sign Adrian Peterson to their active roster today, which tells you that, I mean, he must have impressed at least a little bit. Even if it was a foregone conclusion, he would eventually end up there. But looking just at this week, Mike, how would you rank he and Jeremy McNichols?
I'm going McNichols ahead this week. So okay. I have him 25th. I have Peterson 35th. Now, again, we'll keep an eye on reports, right, leading up to the game and see how they're going to deploy. They may actually add a third back, right, because you have McNichols and Peterson now, and you could be Deontay Foreman can be added. They've Dontrell Hilliard. I believe he was reverted back to the practice squad as well. So there could be a third back involved here as well. But McNichols is the guy that I would choose as a flex, maybe borderline RB2 sort of option. And the reason is he's already handled 11% of their targets this season, has 203 yards on 28 targets. In his career, 4.4 yards per carry, very low sample. Also, kind of a neutral matchup against the Rams. Good defense, but they haven't really dominated the run by any means. So, again, I just think he's the higher floor, safer guy. He's been there all season. He's gotten some work. I think he's the safer play for 1 week.
Before we get to Nick Chubb, Stefania has an update on Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, this is not much of a surprise. We hinted that we thought this was possible, but now confirming that Saquon Barkley will not play, was not at the portion of open practice, and Joe Judge saying, yeah, when somebody's missed time like that, you want to see him out on the field before the game. So no Saquon Barkley this week.
So he is at least 1 week away. Let's talk about some bounce-back players, and we start with Nick Chubb, Mike. He's been under 12 fantasy points in three of his past four games. I said this early in the season, where like Nick Chubb's amazing. Mm-hmm. He's one of the three best pure rushers in the NFL. I mean, he's right. I think the conversation is he, Derrick Henry, and also Jonathan Taylor. But for fantasy purposes, he's kind of a touchdown dependent RB1.
Yeah, no question about it. 16 plus fantasy points in three games this season, under 12 in the other three, to your point, right? Mm-hmm. A little bit of a boom bust nature to his game. And something that was really encouraging for me.
Wait. I'm sorry. I don't want to say, you said 16 points? That's not a boom nature.
Well, 16 or more.
Okay. I didn't realize you said 16 or more.
That's the floor of what is getting you those three
games.
That's
my fault.
So, no problem. But, so...
You can be perfect all the time, Daniel. Don't worry.
I apologize, Michael.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry. I'm just distracted now. I forget what I was talking about. But
Nick Chubb, 16, boom bust.
So anyway, what was encouraging was late last season when they started throwing the ball more, they were targeting him quite a bit. His target share got as high as like 10, 11%, which is really good for him. And coming into the season, I thought that would continue. It has not. He has 6 targets in 6 games, averaging a little over 17 carries per game. So you're still getting that rushing volume, the goal line opportunities, but not passing game involvement, and that is hurting his fantasy stock. But it was a good sign last week. He came back and had 16 carries in that game. D'Ernest Johnson only had 4 carries and 3 targets on 18 snaps in that game. So it's not like it was really a committee. I mean, Johnson played a decent role, but it was clearly Chubb coming back from the injury and was the feature running back. By the way, though, the Bengals have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to running backs this season, but they're really good against a run. It's the passing game where they've been exploited. And again, that's not Chubb's game, right? So they're allowing 3.7 yards per carry. So maybe a little bit of concern for Chubb in this game. But again, it's Nick Chubb. You got to start him.
You're still playing him. Yeah. And you're still playing DJ Moore, Mike. But he's been a little bit sort of down the past 4 weeks. Over the first 4 weeks of the season, he was averaging 22.4 fantasy points. Over the last 4 weeks, 10.7 fantasy points per game. I think it's as simple as he just hasn't been scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, somewhat. Again, 15-plus fantasy points in each of the first 4 games, under 14 in the last 4, right? Basically aligns with your splits. But I thought this was interesting, right? So there's a lot of narratives about there about what the Patriots do defensively, and one of them is that they stop the number one guy, right? Well, check this out. I thought this was really interesting. Mike Williams last week, number one perimeter guy. Sometimes the slot guys, it gets tricky, but number one perimeter receiver for the Chargers, 19 yards and 5 targets.
Okay.
Before that, Devontae Parker, 12 fantasy points. Corey Davis, 2.8. Marquez Callaway, 14.1. Mike Evans, 14.5. Brandon Cooks, 5. Amari Cooper, 10.5. Corey Davis, twice, at a total of 14.7. Every number one that is mentioned, that's every number one they face under 15 fantasy points this season. Now DJ Moore, naturally the number one for Carolina. I thought that was really interesting. So a couple other guys had big games. CeeDee Lamb had a big game. Keenan Allen, Chris Moore had that big game against them. Yep. So it's not like it's impossible. But that guy, if you just list the teams and they're number one, they've slowed them or at least held them in check, and that's more. So keep that in mind for DFS, I guess, you're starting him in season
long. Yeah, worth noting, J.C. Jackson, the Patriots' top cornerback, has not practiced this week. He's been sick, non-COVID related, but he has not yet practiced. Don't know if he's back in the building today or not, but we'll keep an eye on J.C. Jackson.
Because he shadows the number one at times, so that's a good note.
Kyle Pitts needs to bounce back, Mike, if for no other reason that we have so few tight ends. Like, we have like 2 tight ends that matter. We need Kyle Pitts to be that third tight end that matters, Mike. He has 3 weeks as a top 8 tight end, and he has 3 weeks as a non-top 20 tight end.
Yeah, top 20 at the tight end? You got to score like 3 points to be a top 20 tight end.
Literally.
That is true. Look, he served his bye, and he has 4 games with single-digit fantasy points. He's still tight end 6.
Amazing.
To your point, right? So a lot of volume. The target share has been 21% or higher 4 straight weeks. And by the way, bad touchdown luck. 2.9 OTD, his expected touchdown total. That's 5th highest at tight end. He only has 1 score. So that's some bad luck. If that regresses to the mean a little bit, that's just going to help him more going forward. So the Saints, by the way, have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end this season or a tight end to reach 10 fantasy points. So they are pretty good in that department. That's a little bit of a red flag. But with the way he's being targeted, I think he'll get back on track.
Let's talk a pair of Chargers. You mentioned Mike Williams a minute ago. He had just 19 yards against the Patriots on 5 targets. His quarterback, though, Mike, has not been great for fantasy recently. What's going on with Justin Herbert?
Yeah, 2 top 2 fantasy weeks, right? So he's had those. There you go, Daniel. There's your boom weeks.
That's
top
the boom
2
week.
Finish at quarterback. He's had 2 of those, but he has 4 finishes of 18th or worse.
Weird,
so he is, right, that's not what we really expected from him this season. Also, you're playing the Eagles, 7th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've only allowed 1 top 10 this year. That was Patrick Mahomes in that game that Tyreek Hill had a huge game. But at the end of the day, the Chargers have already had their bye, and Herbert is 5th in pass attempts and 8th in passing touchdowns when you total it all up. So still super talented, coming along well. I have him QB7. I still think you're starting him with 4 teams on a bye, and probably anyway. It's not as dominant as we expected from him.
And for those that missed yesterday's Mike Williams / also Darius Slay conversation, what was sort of the highlight of that?
Yeah, the highlight is Mike Williams has seen a lot of targets this year, a lot of the air yards. He's come back to earth a little bit in fantasy, two straight duds, and the Eagles are really good against wide receivers, especially the perimeter. Third fewest fantasy points overall to the position, fewest to the perimeter, fewest catches allowed to receivers this season, and they've only allowed six receivers to reach double-digit fantasy points this season. So will Allen and Mike Williams both be able to do it? The Eagles' resume this season says probably not. I think Darius Slay shadows Mike Williams. He's Eagles' top corner. It is a tough matchup and puts Williams in jeopardy of his third straight dud.
Whew, man, that would be no bueno for that Mike Williams. He's been so, so good in so many ways this season. But a couple of duds recently. Let's hope they do not persist into Sunday. Let's finish up with a couple more quarterback streamers. We've talked about how Aaron Rodgers, he's not playing this week. We are uncertain, but think Kyler Murray will play on Sunday. We will not have Tom Brady this week. There's no Russell Wilson still. The Seahawks are on a bye, plus he is still hurt. There are several quarterbacks who are filling in for. Amongst the options include Daniel Jones. Mike, where does he stack up in terms of your favorite quarterback streamers of the week?
He's QB 13, so second best on the list of guys we're about to talk about. Four straight finishes of 12th or worse, but at the same time, he's eighth in pass attempts and fifth at quarterback in rush attempts and yards, right? Yeah. So that volume is good, but we're right back where we were last year, right? On top of all the injuries, that's one thing. But the other thing is he has 9 touchdowns in 8 games. Mm-hmm. That's not going to cut it. You have to score. You have to put the ball in the end zone. He has not been able to do that throughout his career, so it bothers me, right? I almost feel bad for him because he's just, it's a new cast of characters every week rotating in and just constant, but he has to get it done too. And he is not, I don't think he's elevated his game quite enough. So again, he's a borderline streaming.
Daniel Jones could really use a wide receiver too. I don't know if they've thought about bringing in OBJ, but like,
ooh,
you know what I mean?
Interesting. That was
interesting. Can we talk about, let's skip over the next one field, but I do want to talk about Tua because he's another guy that I think is closer on this.
That's my one. I think Tua's got to be very much up on your quarterback streaming radar for this week. Tua has been good the past couple of games, right, Mike? I mean, he's been efficient enough. He's playing against the Houston defense. It does not scare you. I think this is an opportunity for Tua to be a top 10 quarterback this week.
And that's what he's been since he came back. And since he returned in week 6, he's QB5 in fantasy points. I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
He's been getting the job done. He's added value with this, like 61 yards and a touchdown. And to your point, terrific matchup against a Texans defense that has allowed 19 touchdowns to quarterbacks so far this season.
Are you about to break our heart?
Sorry, Mike paused, and I thought it was like opportunity to jump in.
Oh, sorry.
I just want to tell people, you may see him pop up as questionable on the injury report because he does have a little bit of swelling in a finger in his throwing hand. But Brian Flores has already said that he's optimistic he'll be able to play through it. But it is something that happened to him in the last game, and he's on the injury report as limited. So just be aware of that, but I don't expect it to be a factor in deciding his status based on what Flores said.
Didn't Matthew teach us earlier this year that quarterbacks can just learn with their other hand?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson did that.
Yeah, he's just going to throw left-handed, right? Or right-handed.
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 Exactly.
I know. All right, yeah, we both agree. We like Tua quite a bit here as a quarterback streamer for this week. Daniel, what do you have?
I want to ask Stefania two more quick injury questions to close out the show, if that's
okay.
All right.
Yeah, go for it.
Stefania, I know we've got both Chase Edmonds, who was dealing with a shoulder injury last week. Right now, he's ranked as a low-end RB2, mid to low-end RB2. And Cole Beasley, taking on Jacksonville, had a huge game last week, kind of in that flex radar. Any word on either one of them?
Yeah, so Chase Edmonds has been limited with that shoulder. And I think the fact that he came back in the game was a big thing for us because he came back and proved that he could play through it. And even though they're limiting him this week, I think that's probably part of the making sure that he's available to play. I got to find my notes on Cole Beasley because there's so many injuries.
I'll give you some notes.
Cole Beasley left last week's game, but he did return. It's a rib injury. So that's probably why he hasn't practiced. You know, we've seen these rib injuries be problematic for guys.
He's practicing today, though.
Oh, okay.
All right, then.
There you go. He is practicing today. Sean McDermott, about an hour ago, said he is optimistic that Cole Beasley will play. He's in a non-contact jersey right now with those ribs that he's dealing with, but it sounds like he will play.
He's not one who's ever shied away from contact either. He's a pretty physical player, so I wouldn't be surprised.
One that I will add is just minutes ago, Rashad Bateman for the Ravens was not spotted during practice. He has not been on the injury report. We don't know what that means, but I'm flagging it now in case it turns out that Rashad Bateman's status might be in some jeopardy as the Ravens come off of their bye and play on Sunday. So that's one to keep an eye on as well. Speaking of the best way to figure out whether these players will play or not, Fantasy Football Now. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Here's what we do. We rank players. We talk about injury updates. Mike Clay has all kinds of jam-packed important information. Wide receiver, cornerback matchups, daily fantasy building blocks. He's got insights on all the major storylines of the day. Stefania empties out the notebook. She just, I mean, it's like 3,000 words worth of awesome intel that she has. Matthew also joins us.
I know.
It's a little different.
What are you
going to
do?
Not here.
What are you going to say?
Here,
you
know? Right? Like,
apparently,
when he's not here.
We are starting on ESPN News due to the New York Marathon this weekend, but we will be joining ESPN2 at 11:30.
Okay. So we are on
News at 11:30.
And if you're running the New York Marathon, good luck to you.
Yes, sir.
Are you running it, Daniel?
I am not. I just want to close out with one quick thing, if you don't mind, because we have a teammate here, Jackson Agello, who works for us. He handles all of our social. Anytime you guys follow at Fantasy Focus, he handles most everything that we do there.
Built a huge community there.
Huge community. He has done such an amazing job. I want to say thank you to Jackson because you guys don't know this, but last night Jackson was here working until 4 a.m. with Brian Windhorst, working on a story and a podcast that they had. They didn't publish it until about 4. And then he came in and did the show this morning as well, which he absolutely does not need to do. Jackson, like I said, please next time text me and I will record the podcast without you. But we love you so much, man. So much
dedication.
And you've done so much for our show on top of it. I just want to say thank you, man. You've done such a great job. I want you to know how much we love you and we appreciate everything you do here.
And Jackson chooses the song that you hear at the end
on the podcast.
So I bet Daniel's getting it today.
Jackson, you are the man, buddy. Go Orange. We so appreciate all that you do. And we appreciate everybody here for watching. Mike, Stefania, and Daniel, I am Field. We are back on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
No secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.